bow your heads with us. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, Caleb and I are going to be sharing the message. I've known Caleb a long time, and I'm taller. But you know what? He can grow a much better beard than I can, and he could when he was 14, too. And he still can. And this has been amazing, thinking about the idea of introducing this new message, which is called True View. And the idea is, how much temper could happen or not happen? How much baggage could not happen, or would we not pick up if we understood God's view of who we are, God's view of how the world is supposed to be? If we could understand what God sees when he looks at our hearts, what an incredible change in our lives and in our world I think that we could make. I can't help but think about where we hear the lies that we believe. Is it something at school? Is it something at work? Is it something at home? But we do, don't we? One of the saddest things for me is on Mother's Day, the amount of extreme isolation that people feel. And that there is something going around that says, no, nobody could understand you, nobody gets you. You are completely alone and completely isolated. And I think that one of the biggest problems today are the amount of people living in this lie of extreme isolation. And we think that we're connected because we have 1,000 friends on Facebook, or as the kids call it today, Mommy Book. And we only have 800 followers on Instagram. And all of these things that say, no, this isn't who you need to be, and this is how popular you are. And into that, God speaks his truth. Well, I was talking with Caleb about this. He and I have been meeting, talking about our message for this morning. And I asked him to share if he saw this too. The lies, the loneliness. And so he said, well, let me tell you, here's what happened to me last week.
Yeah, like you said, I'm a senior at Dexter High School. Next year, I plan to attend Life Church Leadership College to get my bachelor's in youth ministry. And after that, God has stuff in store for me. So he asked me what happened in a regular week in the life of Caleb Williams, and I told him. So on a daily basis, I hear the same thing. I'm done smoking. I'm done drinking. I'm done partying. That happens on a daily basis, but they don't want to believe it because that's where they have their friends. They have their friends at these parties. They have their friends smoking with them, and they believe if they stop, then they won't have these friends. But true friends aren't friends that are telling you, hey, you need to do this with me, then we'll be friends. The true friends are the friends that are growing you. The true friends are the friends that are pouring into your lives, not telling you, hey, you need to do this with me, or we're not going to be friends. Because people believe that. People believe that if you do this with other people, then they'll be your friend. You need to hang out with this crowd before you're friends with that crowd. But that's not the truth. Because they're believing a lie. They're believing a lie that their true friends are the friends that are making them do stuff, not the friends that are reaching out to them. Then most people, like my first, fifth, and track practice, are looking for pleasure. They're not looking for the one. They're not looking for people they're in love with. They're just looking for the body count. That's what counts these days. Not whether they love the person, not whether even they like the person or have the connection, just whether or not they can have sex with them. That's what I hear on a daily basis. Oh, what's your body count? And they gasp when I tell them zero, and they say, why are you waiting till marriage? I tell them I'm waiting till marriage because that's what God has in store for me. God has the best in store for me, and the best is waiting till marriage. That's what I believe. I don't believe in the body count. I don't believe with just having sex with people to be popular. I believe in waiting till marriage. Most people don't get that. But then there's other people that think they're not good enough. They're not in the spotlight, so they're not popular. because not all of us are sprinters, not all of us are musicians, not all of us are actors, not everyone gets a spotlight. I hear people on a daily basis say they're not fast enough, they're not as talented enough, they're not as pretty or as good-looking as the other person. They're looking to the compare themselves. They're not looking to inside and saying, wow, this is what God has given me. They're saying, wow, look what they have. They have this, and I don't have that. Oh, I'm not a D1 athlete like this person. I'm not a college athlete like this person. Whether it's this or that, we're all looking to compare ourselves to the person in the spotlight. But sometimes God gave us the background. God gave us the background to show the other person in the spotlight to do good. Because our gifts and talents are what God has given us, not what humanity tells us we need to be. Some days it seems like high school isn't about the education. It seems like people are always looking for how many friends they have. Because if you have a high number of friends, then you're popular. And if you don't have a high number of friends, then other people think you're a nobody. Think of that. A nobody. You're walking around with no friends, and they're just like, oh, don't talk to that person because they don't have this amount of friends. That's what people think. I'm getting text messages and you're not. My phone's blowing up and yours isn't. Wow, cool. That's making them seem alone. And that's a lie people are believing. People believe that they always need to have text messages. They always need to have Snapchats. They always need to have Instagram notifications. They always need to have more followers and following because that's cool. That just leaves people alone. My biggest struggle in high school is my faith walk. I get questions in school about why I'm following this figment of my imagination, why I'm following this person that's not real, because we can't see him. Why am I doing this? Why are you going to Bible college? That's not even a real school, right? Oh, how much do pastors make a year? Not a lot. Oh, so you're following this person that's fake and you're not getting paid for it? Wow, Caleb, that's not cool. Because life's all about how much money you make in a year. Life's all about the status you have, whether you're high class, middle class, or low class. Everyone's always judging you on where you're at in life. But then there's those friends that are honestly curious about my faith and ask me questions that I answer. But then there's other friends that are just like, oh, hey, what's this? Just to mock me by answer. But then there's other people who are trying to find loopholes. Oh, but God tells me if I love the person, I can have sex with them, right? No, not true. Because I believe that you should wait till marriage to have sex. Kids do. Beneath every one of these situations in high school, it's someone believing a lie about themselves. Someone that's getting led in different directions because there's always people leading us in directions, whether we think of it or not. People are leading us in the wrong direction or the right direction. There are people leading us in both ways. How many of us are in bondage believing a lie that we were really alone in a futile world? After hearing this list of people I hang out with, Mass asked me this question. What do you wish? Obviously, I wish for everyone to turn to Jesus because he's the right answer. But sometimes that's not always true. Because some people always believe the lie that says, I'm too far gone. No one can help me. That's a lie that people are telling you. Because no matter how far you've gone, we're all sinners. No matter how far you've gone, Jesus is always reaching out and people are always reaching out for you. It's whether you accept the help. Because sometimes we're human and we think we're so good because we don't need the help, because we don't want the help. Because we think we can do it on our own. We think we can do this life on our own. But here's the truth. You can't. You need other people. You need people leading you in the right direction. You need those people that are reaching out to you. Because whether it's your mom on Mother's Day, whether it's your dad, your friend, your neighbor, or just that random mom on the side of the street, someone's always reaching out to you. Because I can tell you personally in my life, my only mom is not my birth mom. I have so many moms that are reaching out to me. I have so many people that are helping lead me in this direction of my life. I've accepted the help. We all need to accept the help in our lives because we can't do it on our own. It says in Scripture, Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. It tells us to run our race. It doesn't tell us to jog. It tells us to run with everything we have. We need to do it for Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus' next step, the help that people are giving us.
Two weeks ago, it was confirmation. We had 30 eighth graders up here and some high schoolers, and I said, the thing about it, the church is always only one generation away from extinction. But after this morning, I think that's not such a bad thing, given this upcoming generation and who God is using. Caleb, your sharing of just how it is hit me so hard. And thinking about how many of those kids, and let's face it, how many of the big kids that all of us see feel so alone? Feel like there's no hope, feel like, oh, it couldn't be that good, feel like I've got my own path. When God's Word does say, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I thank you that we've got Caleb and we've got so many kids being witnesses for somebody else. Now, I don't know if it's occurred to you, but behind every action you see, there's a reason you don't see for the action. Behind every person that you see, there's things that you can't see that are driving them. Behind every invention, there were ideas that put that together. And it goes that way with attitudes that people have. It goes that way with what we call reality today. Behind reality as we know it are a set of ideas, a set of principles, a set of actions that leads us to what we see. But those things we don't see. So behind everything that we know, we believe as Christ followers in what we call the Bible, 66 ancient documents that were put together simply because somebody wanted to witness to you. It was put together in order that you could hear what God had done in their life. There's a reason behind what we see and what we know now. In some ways, we were mentioned when Luke records how Thomas said, I will not believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands. Sounds kind of gross. And Jesus said, blessed are you who saw, to Thomas. He says, blessed are you who saw and now believe. But how much more blessed will people be who believe and now see? Would you read this passage with me? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cloud of witnesses that the author of Hebrews is talking about is the list of people going all the way back who had an encounter with God. But it wasn't just enough to keep it to themselves. They recorded it in order that someone would see what's behind the belief. And it's the same for us today. By your coming alongside someone else, you become a part of this cloud of witnesses that God is surrounding everyone with. we need to be there for them. Now, one thing, you think of the lies behind the temper. You think of the lies behind your temper. You think of the lies behind your baggage that you have believed. For me, 2 months ago, when I was 4 years old, I probably have 10 memories from when I was four. And I'm pretty good at remembering things that happened when I was a little kid. One of those things was I lost the big wheel race against some red-headed kid. That's all I remember. And at that moment, I thought, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. Now, I didn't have it all lined out that specifically as a four-year-old, but the kernel of the seed was placed in me. And that lie that I could not measure up opened up a whole set of untruths for me. A couple of months ago, I was with this men's group, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh. And God brought back that memory to me. I hadn't thought of that in 15 years of riding the big wheel and the red-headed kid. I can tell you exactly the street corner where we were in Birmingham, Michigan. And I needed to repent of that lie. I needed to say, God, forgive me for believing that about myself. And the guys were there and they were praying with me. And I said, help me believe the truth about myself. And as one Catholic nun prays, Lord, help me believe the truth about myself, no matter how wonderful it is. I am so thankful that we have the cross to go to, that Jesus took it on for his joy, that what we experience could bring him joy. But that will never happen unless we can unload our baggage at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me. The sin that tangles me up, I need you to forgive me. We live that way. And it's not some meaningless little trite thing. It cost God everything in order for us to have that freedom. Look at what happens. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Notice the pronoun, let us. The Bible's not just a bunch of rules. The Bible is, this is how we live. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are not alone. You know, why do we think so badly that us doesn't mean that? That nobody understands me, that nobody could understand me, that I could go through this life and not one person would get it. Behind every idea, behind every attitude, every action is something that we cannot see. Behind everything you look up on the internet is a person typing those words, dictating them into the internet. But we never think that. We think our perceptions are everything. But the author of Hebrews says, run with perseverance the race. Now, I was a sprinter in track. Caleb was a thrower. And I was not a distance guy. And I hated to run long distance. And I know in our family we say the only thing we hate is sin. But running long distance just causes me to sin. And I heard this speaker once when I was in college say, it's not a sprint. Life is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. So I'm like, oh, great. So, here's how you would ever see me running a marathon if I ever felt like God wanted me to run a marathon, which will never happen. I'd be like this. Like Caleb said, it's not a jog. The Greek word for run here means to run with all your might. so that when you cross the finish line, there is nothing left. That's how I want to die. I want to be completely spent. I want to have lived my whole life through every year. I don't want to die before I'm dead. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people walking around like walking dead because they stopped living. They stopped running before they were through. And I guess that's a lie that people believe. What is it behind the lie that causes that? Look at what the author says. Run it with perseverance, the race marked out for us. You don't have to go and invent something. God's got an amazing design for the universe. God's got an amazing design for people. You don't have to invent it yourself, but it's been marked out for us. And then he says, let us fix our eyes. The word for fix our eyes is literally tunnel vision, to see nothing else. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I know some of you are facing all kinds of stuff, trials, diseases, challenges. Before you do another thing, first fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus with reverence, with awe. Whatever you tell yourself, whatever anyone else tells you, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the beginning. He's the one that had our faith walk in mind before we ever came to be. He is the perfecter, the one who will see it through to completion when it's done. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Throw away the baggage. I can't say much more than what the kids did. But here's what I want. I want your destination to be truth. And there are so many people so alone. To fight the isolation in your life and in the lives of the people around you, I want you this week to think about what does it look like. The fact is, the people who gave us Scripture had us in mind. As you go from this place, I want you to have in mind, what's the lie that I'm believing about my wife or my husband or that person or my kids? What's the lie beneath the action? Because for everything you can see, it happens because of stuff you can't, stuff you don't know. And when you fight against that lie for someone else, you fight it for yourself as well. It's just what happens when you make it about other people and not about yourself anymore. And you help them realize the truth, that they are directly related to God, that they are invited to be a part of this, that it's real. And if you're demoting yourself, you're not just demoting yourself, but you're demoting God's child. The author of Hebrews stands with us at the starting point of this race. And he earnestly is saying to us, not run, but let us run. This week, as you encounter people, I want you to be paying attention to the lie beneath what you can see. And the first thing when you meet that is, I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. And I want you to pray for that person. And then as God directs you, to speak truth into that person. What is truth? The question is, who is truth? When we do that, I become part of us. And we walk this journey. We run this journey as Jesus does. May the true view that you have be God. May the race that you see laid before you be His. May your eyes focus on Him. I'm going to invite Beck up here as we close our time. And as we do, I'm going to pray. And then I want to share one more thought with you. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you have not left us alone. Thank you, Lord, for the witness of the people throughout the ages up to today. Thank you for the witness of some of our own moms and dads. Thank you for the witness of some of our aunts and uncles. Thank you for the witness of people who would love to share Christ with us. Thank you for the witness that you are calling us to be. Given the face of the extreme isolation and loneliness that so many people live in that we try to cover up with everything else, Lord, may we remember that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses and invited to become one with them. Lord, may we focus on you. May we walk with you as we seek to reach out to those who do not yet know, who are not yet running your race. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand, and I'm going to give a benediction, and then Beck is going to play some traveling music. I would love for you just to take a moment to fix your eyes, to think about a lie that you've bought into, and to leave it here as you go from this place. And as you go, may you go as part of the great cloud of witnesses. May you run the race. May you fix your eyes on Jesus. May you leave the sin and the encumbrances and the baggage behind, that others would know there is a great race to be won. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.